Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts right now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. And, of course, I am your host, Anthony Johnson. It's good to be back. Been working on a few projects lately, just to improve and for the betterment of our, of the community in which, where I live. And just some other projects that I'm working on as I prepare to, run for elected office again. I did it in 2012, so 6 years later, I think I'll take one more stab at it, if you will. But it's always good to be back. I want to say I appreciate your support and your patience. You know, I want to take some time away from the show, but I'm back, and there's a lot to talk about this evening. Where do we begin? I think first and foremost, before we get started with what's going on in the national arena, I want to say and wish all the best to Ed Lloyd, Mr. Juan Rodriguez, and Mr. Orlando Acosta. These gentlemen are running for state representative in the 197th district here in Philadelphia. Special election is this Tuesday, March 21st. So I ask that, those residents that live in that area, to please get out and vote. Bottom line is that, if you don't hold your elected officials accountable, they won't be accountable. And it's as simple as that. So these three gentlemen are running for state representative as write-in candidates. This is a special election. None of the Democrats from the 197th district, which is 85% Democrat, none of the Democrats made it on the ballot. There is one candidate, a Republican, is the only one that's appearing on the ballot. So there's certain ways you have to go about making sure that you write in the right candidate that you want. I would say do not be bullied. Do not be influenced by poll watchers that's supposed to make sure that you're just going in and there's no issue rather than to try to convince you to vote for somebody that they like, which is, I believe that if you do run into that, I would ask you to contact Committee of 70, contact them right away. I mean, and they come out. That's one thing I really love about Committee of 70. They stay true to their principles, and if people are out there trying to do things illegal during the electoral process, they come out and they investigate it immediately. So I ask that, the residents in the 197th district go out and vote. You don't hold your elected officials accountable, they won't be accountable. So I would say best of luck to those three individuals, and we'll find out Tuesday night who will the winner be, because there are three of, I think, about 30 write-in candidates on the Democratic side, which should be very, very interesting. So please go out and vote, residents in the 197th district. Vote en masse. And thank you for that. So here we are at the national level. It's one of those things where you begin to look at it and say, what have we done wrong? And when I say what have we, not me per se, not those who didn't vote for Donald Trump, but those who did. And it is starting to come to fruition where you're starting to see these individuals have buyer's remorse. The thing is that this last presidential cycle was so clear of who was about issues and who wasn't. I wasn't a supporter of Hillary Clinton, but she had a clear agenda. what you wanted to accomplish. Donald Trump had no vision. He ran on his idiotic campaign of making America great again. What is this making America great again? I think many people have sat and kind of dissected that. For many Americans, America was never a great place to be. And that's, you know, we'll have that discussion. We'll have that discussion in future broadcasts about that. But my point being is that those supporters, those 62 million Americans, are now understanding the error in their thinking when they went out and voted for Donald Trump. Particularly those poor people. Like, when you look at them and say, what were they thinking? Like, when they went out and voted for Donald Trump, why on earth did they think that he was going to help them? Every so often you'll have someone who comes from wealth and you know, and they can connect with those who don't. They can connect with the poor. You know, you look at somebody, the last modern president that this nation had was John Kennedy. John F. Kennedy, he connected. He came from wealth. You know, his father, bootlegger, you know, turned that money into a multimillionaire. But he connected. He connected with poor people. So even though poor people knew he was wealthy, there was this connection because his concern for the poor in America was true. It was a deep concern that, yes, I come from wealth, but there's so many of my people, you know, American citizens that are having a hard time. And here I am in this powerful position, the most powerful position in the world, and I'm going to try to do better to help them as much as I can. And, you know, of course, after his assassination, you know, then big Texas. Lyndon Johnson became president, and Lyndon Johnson, who came from dirt poor poverty, was yet again in a position to say, you know, I come from dirt poor poverty. I know what it's like to be dirt poor and going without meals and going without the basic necessities to keep me and my family moving along. So here I am in this very important and very powerful a position in America, so I'm going to try to do right by helping the poor. You know, the Great Society legislation. And you've had some presidents that did that, and then you had those who really didn't care. As much as everybody talks about how great Ronald Reagan is, Ronald Reagan was no friend of poor people in this country. He was an enemy, if you really want to break it down. To the common denominator, the lowest common denominator. He did not care about poor people at all. And his 8 years of presidency saw a dramatic increase in poverty. So, and you fast forward and you look at what Donald Trump is doing. Now, Donald Trump ran in my opinion, an idiotic campaign of his campaign. His platform was built on hate, built on xenophobic, homophobic, sexism. So there should have been no a misunderstanding what he was going to do when he became president. So, and yet he was able to, sadly, easily convince the very people who he cannot stand to vote for him. And I do believe that Donald Trump is an imbecile. I've always said that. It wasn't years before this guy even thought about running for president. When I used to see this guy talking, I'm like, that guy is a real imbecile. Like, clearly he comes from money, because if this guy had to do it the hard way, like you and I and so many millions of Americans have had to do it, Donald Trump would have taken his life. I believe that he would have committed suicide a long time ago had he had to do it like the majority of Americans. Get up every day, work several jobs, you know, make you know, stretch the checks from 1 week to the other, 1 month to the other, 1 year to the other. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't have been able to do it. He would have cashed out. But if you're poor, if you're a poor person in America, President Trump's budget proposal is not for you. So his budget, he wants $54 billion so he can put towards military, because he feels that the military doesn't win wars. The American military are losers, and he feels he has figured out the master plan to get us back on the stage as the most powerful military on earth. Here's why I say, you know, once again, he's an imbecile. America has the biggest military on earth. The eight superpowers, the eight countries that have powerful militaries combined couldn't beat America. Doesn't measure up to America. Now, you've seen over the years that some modern presidents said we're going to dial back on military spending. You know who was the first president to do that? Anybody? Anybody? Ike. Eisenhower. And, you know, General Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he became president, he said, hey, the war is over. We were spending close to 50% of our budgets on the military. And you know what? Everybody in America overall understood that. So we have this war time. So, yeah, we understand. We got to build tanks. We got to build ships. We got to build planes. We got to do all these things. And that's fine. There's no more war. So he decreased funding for the military dramatically. And even back then, they were not complaining. The general said, well, you know that we've had a run where the majority, like I said, more than close to half of our budget, our nation's budget, was being spent for several years on military. And in that process, in that time, we had built up a pretty damn good, strong, vibrant military. When Ronald Reagan became president, he did the same thing. He decided that, nope, Russia is strong now. Well, I understand what Ike was doing back then, but nope, we got to now spend money on building our military. What were the first departments that Reagan went after? He went after the safety net programs. He went after the Meals on Wheels. He went after the school lunches. He went after all these programs that help people. Heating programs, water programs, legal aid. Donald Trump is doing exactly what Ronald Reagan was doing. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that. All you have to do is Google. Google, I think, is probably one of the greatest inventions put together ever. The most idiotic individual, a person who has been stuck in their basement for 30 years, who don't know what the hell is going on in the world, can Google, tell me what's been going on in the world over the last 30 years. And it's right there. Ronald Reagan was one of the first modern-day presidents to gut safety net programs in this country and had the same attitude of, well, that program doesn't really seem to be working. Why are we spending money on that program? Well, Mr. President, you know, children need free lunch, because if they don't get the free lunch, they're probably not going to eat for the rest of the day. He didn't care. He didn't care. Fast forward. Donald Trump is doing the same thing. So when he unveiled a budget that would slash or abolish programs that have provided low-income Americans with help on virtually all fronts, including affordable housing, banking, weatherizing homes, job training, paying home heating oil bills, and obtaining legal counsel in civil matters. During the presidential campaign last year, everybody was listening to this fool Trump vowed that the solution to poverty was giving poor people incentives to work. That was his thing. People are poor because they don't have incentives to work. They don't have opportunities. But most of the proposed cuts in his budget, ladies and gentlemen, target programs designed to help the working poor, as well as those who are jobless. And many of them carry out their missions by dispersing money to the states, which establish their own criteria. Someone wrote, "This is a budget that pulled the rug out from the working families and hurts the very poor who Mr. Trump promised to stand up for." And rural American and small towns, said Melissa Boteach. She's the vice president of Poverty and Prosperity Program at the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank organization in Washington. Let's go back for a minute. I said these programs, she said, quote, "This is a budget that pulled the rug out from working families and hurts the very people who President Trump promised to stand up for in rural America and small towns." Rural America and small towns had a long history of really of not going out and voting in the last several elections, the last several presidential elections. They were non-existent. That was one of the reasons why Hillary Clinton later got, Secretary Clinton later was attacked, because they said she didn't go out and try to get these guys to vote. Because pollsters, those close to her, was telling her there's no need. They're not going to come out. They've been in there. They don't care. So whatever, even if you go out into those rural towns, rural America, and try to talk to them, they're not listening to what you have to say. But she should have gone out there and talked to them, because Donald Trump did. But Donald Trump, like I said, didn't run on a campaign of economic prosperity, lower taxes, creating more programs, more job opportunities, addressing the health care issues. He went and ran on a platform of hate and xenophobic and homophobic and sexism. And it resonated with rural America. And they voted for him thinking that somehow he was going to do something for them. The White House budget cuts will fall hardest on the rural and small town communities that Trump won, where 1 in 3 people are living paycheck to paycheck. That is, ladies and gentlemen, 24% higher than in the urban communities that have been suffering for the last 4 decades. 24% higher. So the budget process housing reforms that add up to more than $6 billion in cuts, while promising to continue assisting the nation's more than 5 million low-income families. If enacted, the proposed budget will result in the most severe cut to the Department of Housing and Urban Development since the 1980s. Who was president in the 1980s? Ding, you're right, Ronald Reagan. President Trump just released his budget plan for the next fiscal year, which proposes some big changes in government spending. It would also eliminate the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, something that we've been fighting in this country forever, which coordinates the federal response to homelessness across 19 federal agencies. The administration changes include eliminating funding for a $3 billion community block grant program, one of the longest continuous run HUD programs that has been in existence since 1974. With housing, gone would be $35 million in funding for well-known programs such as Habitat for Humanity and Youth Build, Fair Housing Planning, and Homeless Assistance, among other housing help for needy Americans. So what we're going to be seeing is, if you think homelessness is bad now, just wait till these cuts take effect. And I know many people saying, "Well, Anthony, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen." I'm sorry. "I don't think it's going to happen" just doesn't fly. You didn't think Donald Trump was going to become president, and here we are. Other targets include funding for neighborhood development and a home buying program through which low-income individuals help build their own homes. This is yet another war on poor people. When all else fails, when these so-called leaders of this country, these so-called elected officials of this country, when they want to cut spending, they want to put money in, extra money in their pocket because they want cheese on their Whopper, the first target is poor people because they're the most vulnerable. And sadly, for years, there hasn't been enough people to stand up and fight the homelessness and fight for poor people and fight for homelessness, fight against homelessness. Trump's proposed budget would eliminate the Community Service Block Grant, a $715 million program that funds more than 1,000 local anti-poverty organizations around the country. Taking that $715 million away from these anti-poverty organizations will now forever keep our country in perpetual poverty. The organizations provide services ranging from job training to food assistance to more than 16 million people in 3,000 counties. The grants also help communities respond quickly to natural disasters, plant closures, and other economic shifts. So our unemployment right now is hovering around 5%. Imposing these cuts would skyrocket the unemployment rate from 5% to almost 10%. This is foolishness, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely foolishness. Somehow I feel like Trump is laughing and asking, why did 62 million people believe I cared about them? Because of those 62 million people, the majority of those 62 million people are rural Americans, middle class, and poor. You got a couple of million who are wealthy, who said, voting for him was the best thing I did. I'm going to pay lower taxes. I said this several years ago on the Anthony Johnson Show. How many more tax breaks are we going to give every wealthy person in America before we simply say, you know what? We see where this is going. Y'all guys don't want to pay no taxes because that's what this is all about. Even with the health care, the just hurry up and die already health care plan presented by Paul Ryan and the Republicans. Over $1 billion tax break for the wealthy. That's not benefit. This health care foolishness that they proposed benefits nobody but the wealthy, elderly, poor, and sick people right out in the street. No health care. Goodbye. The tax cuts, the budget cuts would also eliminate Wheels on Meals. Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels. This has been a staple of assisting senior citizens. And as Trump's budget director said, in essence, we don't need them. Feeding elderly and children has to end. It's not showing any results. This is what his budget director said. Think about that for a moment, because those of you who have senior citizen grandparents who don't have, you know, their incomes are very low, and these Meals on Wheels is a good thing for them. Think about that. Budget director goes in front of the press corps and says, listen, feeding elderly and children has to end. It's not showing any results. So they want to get rid of also, in addition to getting rid of Meals on Wheels, they want to eliminate the free lunch programs for these children, who do they affect the most? Poor senior citizens and vulnerable children coming from poor homes, poor communities. So now these individuals, these men, women, and children are starving. If not for Meals on Wheels, many of the senior citizens receiving the meals would starve. It's as simple as that. It is the same result for children receiving free lunch in school. For many of them, the free lunch program is the only meal that they'll have all day. But Trump's budget director says, in essence, feeding elderly and children has to end. It's not showing any results. I guess them being fed and living another day is not results enough for them. Donald Trump is cutting Meals on Wheels and free school lunch programs and a host of other safety net programs so he can spend $54 billion on the military, a military that even some in the military, high-ranking officials, are saying, we don't need any more military aid. We're good. We're good. We're good. It's like when the Republicans kept trying to give, back in 2010 and 2009, when they kept trying to give the wealthy more tax breaks, and you actually saw a group of multimillionaires get together and go kind of basically go on tour, going from, you know, newspaper to TV, from newspaper to TV, saying, please stop with the tax breaks. We're good. We don't need any more. And it was like the Republicans, elected officials, was like, no, it's not enough. You got to take these tax breaks. Donald Trump wants to get rid of Meals on Wheels and free school lunches and a host of other safety net programs for the second time so he can spend $54 billion on the military. Ladies and gentlemen, he will cut these programs that will affect hundreds of millions of Americans. Yet, this president has no problem, nor the Republicans have no problem, spending $183 million a year, which will increase every year, so his wife and kid can stay in New York. Where are all the fiscal conservatives at? They were complaining about the Obamas every time they purchased an outfit or bought food or went on a vacation. Their silence is disgusting. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be part two to this conversation about these results. What I would ask people to do now more than ever is you got to get up and fight now. If you never thought you had a fight in this, you got to fight in it now. It is time to, you know, social media is good, get on in, debate and so forth and so forth, wonderful, but you got to get up now. You got to get up and you got to get out. Get on the phone, call your elected officials, call the White House, and let them know that this is not going to happen. You know why? Because in 1980, 81, Reagan was able to do it. He was able to make all those massive cuts. If Donald Trump and the Republicans are successful at gutting the country like this, we may not recover from this. I end this evening's episode of the Anthony Johnson Show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. When the government decides to take away the most basic essentials from the people, then those people are left with no other option than to claim it by any means necessary. Good night.